Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to our North Florida neighborhood.
Hi, and welcome to North Florida neighborhood. I'm Colby. And North Florida neighborhood is all about getting to know our super sweet neighbors and hearing what really sweet stuff they're doing with us and for us in the community. And today we get to chat with a neighbor, Jessie Miller. She's the director and compassion creator for Epic Outreach. Jessie, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you, Colby, for inviting me and having me on the air. I appreciate it.
Oh, for sure. And okay, the name Epic Outreach is already pretty epic, but can you unload what it is to begin with?
Yeah, so we are a 501c3 organization, and EPIC is a sort of an acronym. So EPIC stands for Educating People, Inspiring Compassion, and we're all about outreach. So we do a lot of outreach for teaching kindness and compassion to create a kinder world for people, animals, and planet.
And the things that you are teaching are very deep. Like, there's a lot of substance to them. So how do you even begin to teach compassion and inspire compassion in these people?
Yeah, so we do it through animals, and we actually have a farm sanctuary on the north side, and we invite people to come to the farm sanctuary and really building off of that human-animal bond through direct encounters with animals. And then we also have gone into the schools, so we have a few therapy animals, a dog and some guinea pigs, and we take them into the classroom and teach kids. Our primary focus is kids. Of course, having adults come out to this sanctuary is always good for that direct interaction, but going into classroom, and we teach through their stories. So all the animals that we have at the farm sanctuary and that are therapy animals are all rescued, and they all have a story to tell, and they all teach through those stories of their rescue about, you know, what you need to do to care for an animal, how to be kind to an animal, how can you be a better pet parent to your dog or cat. And then, of course, we have farm animals that we talk about, too, when they come to the farm.
So how many animals do y'all have in total, like at the farm and then also that y'all bring to schools?
So we have two guinea pigs that come to the school, to the classroom, and then we have two therapy dogs that we can bring. And then at the farm, we have about 25-ish animals.
Oh, my
gosh. We just added a couple of new pigs and a new horse within the last couple of weeks. So, and then we have barn cats, too. And then, of course, other horses and donkeys and some chickens and a rooster and a bunny.
Oh, and a bunny. Can't forget the bunny. Well, where... I get it's rescued animals and it's an animal sanctuary, but how do you guys even begin to find, like, oh, this horse needs a home or this pig needs a home?
They find us generally. You can imagine that there are a lot of animals that end up in situations that they need to be rehomed, including farm animals. And so we get reached out to a lot for those animals needing to be rehomed. Of course, we have to look for kind of a special criteria because we do have kids and people coming out, because our main mission and focus is education outreach. So we look for animals that really have an ability to be able to share their story and be an ambassador. So the majority of our horses are all what we call pasture pets, because we don't ride them. We're not a riding facility. And they all have some sort of a history where they can't be ridden. And some of them are really senior, and so they have injuries, or they just we don't ride them anymore. And some of them have other things going on. And so they are here. And that's what we love about them. We love caring for them, and we love teaching about caring for them. And that's really what our mission is about teaching kindness through care and then telling their stories about rescue and how they ended up in situations that they needed help.
So, Jessie, what does it look like? It sounds like there's a lot happening at the sanctuary. So what does it look like if I were to come and want to learn how to be compassion?
Yeah, so you would reach out to us. So we're not open to the general public, so you have to RSVP a visit. We do live on site, so we don't open it up. We can't just have people show up and come for a visit. But you can RSVP and come out for a tour. And so you go and meet all the animals, and we talk about their different situations of rescue and how they situations that they found themselves in, and then what it what it looks like to care for them. And some of the two pigs that we recently just took in are potbelly pigs, and they're very popular pets. And so, but they also do have certain behaviors that aren't very popular once they get older. And so they end up in situations where they need to be rehomed. And so teaching people about their needs, if they're interested in adopting, is really important because education is everything. And if you, once you know better, you can do better. And so you would come have a tour and meet all the animals and learn about their stories and then what it takes to care for them.
I love that you said once you know better, you can do better. And yeah, we can learn this at the sanctuary, but then beforehand you said y'all are also coming into schools. So what happens when y'all come to a school? That sounds so fun.
Yeah, so we would bring one of the therapy animals, either the dog or the guinea pigs. Obviously, we don't bring the horses or the sanctuary pigs. But we would come in, and we actually have children's books. So we write stories about the animals that we rescue. And then those stories teach about kindness and teach about how to care. And so we will come in and either read the stories, or we actually have little games that we play, and then we have education that we teach. And so we do that through also through artwork. We do creativity. So we might make toys for the pets in shelters that are waiting for homes. So we'll talk about animal shelters and dogs and cats that are homeless, and then we make toys for them that then we would take into the shelters to give them. Or we talk about Oliver the pig, who was abandoned and was a stray and then ended up at the farm sanctuary, and we share his story because he has a book about his story.
And these are books y'all wrote?
Yes. So I've written two of the books, and then two of the books I co-authored, and then I've illustrated all of them. So I illustrate all the books that I helped to create, and two of them I self-published, and two of them I went through an independent small publisher. And so, yep, they're all children's books, and actually have had adults read them and learn from the stories. So they're actually pretty impactful.
Are they up for sale? I mean, you said you read them at the schools, but can we also buy them if we're just genuinely
they
interested?
Can. Yeah. So if they go to our website, epicoutreach.org, the books are on there and you can purchase them. It'll actually take you to a link out on Amazon, and they are for sale on Amazon, and all the proceeds benefit the farm sanctuary and supports the outreach work that we do through education.
Yeah. Jesse, I was going to ask, it sounds like a lot of the things you guys do, especially taking care of all these animals, and I'm also assuming the property is a lot of work also. How are y'all able to afford it all?
Yeah, so because we're a 501c3, we do a lot of fundraising. And so we get funding through private donations, through grants, through fundraising. We do a lot of fundraisers on Facebook. And then we apply for grants, and then people give us private donations. And when people come to visit the farm, people will usually leave a donation for the tour. There's not a specific fee for coming for a visit, but it is recommended to make a donation when you come for a visit. And we also do virtual tours. So because of COVID, we do virtual tours. So we have a lot of classrooms that will reach out and ask for a virtual tour if they're doing virtual teaching, and we'll take you on a virtual tour through a Zoom call, and you get to meet the animals up close and personal, and then those teachers a lot of times will make a donation too.
And how can a school get in contact with y'all if they're interested in doing that for their classroom?
Yeah, they can reach out directly to me. They can go on the website, epicoutreach.org, and all of our contact information is right there, or they could email me directly at Jessie, J-E-S-S-I-E, at epicanimals.org, and we could set that up for sure.
It's really cool, everything that y'all are doing, especially teaching these kids at such a young age the importance of fostering something and taking care of something. But for those of us who are maybe older and have had pets or aren't really in that position yet, what are just like some basic ways that we can be kinder to animals, whether they're our own or other people's? What are things that you feel like people are missing the mark on when it comes towards compassion with animals?
Yeah, you know, I think everybody has the ability to be kinder, even to each other, right? So we don't just teach about being kind to animals. We teach about being kind to each other and the planet as a whole. And so, you know, it's just, you know, being kind, saying kind things to each other, being kind to, you can be kind to your neighbor's pet by, you know, giving them, you know, touching them, or asking your neighbor if they need help with anything. Or, you know, if you have a pet and you want to be kind, you can groom them, pet them, love them, take them for a walk if you have a dog. These are just simple things that people can do. And then for, you know, nature and the planet, you know, if you see trash on the ground, pick it up. Or, you know, if you can recycle, it's so simple to recycle these days. Keep things out of our oceans and out of our rivers, and not allowing wildlife to encounter, and learning to live with wildlife. We are surrounded by wildlife out here at the Farm Sanctuary. And so when people come to visit, we talk about living with wildlife and how we can do that because this is their home too. And so we have to learn to give them space and be kind to them by learning to live with them.
Well, Jesse, so many cool opportunities. If we want to learn more, if we want to have a virtual tour of the sanctuary or just come in person and see it, what's a good way and website we can stay connected and contact you?
Yeah, visit epicoutreach.org. And follow us on Facebook. We post a lot about any upcoming events. We post a lot of videos. We go live every Friday and share about what the animals are up to on the farm. And so following us on Facebook or even Instagram, Epic Outreach is who we are listed under on Instagram and Facebook. And you can follow and see what we're doing and what's happening at the farm through pictures and videos.
Well, great. Jesse, thank you so much for being such a great neighbor in our community.
Yeah, no, thank you. And I extend a personal invite for you to come to visit the farm. The animals would love to meet you.
I would love that.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, at jacksonville.radio. Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood.
Hey, and welcome to North Florida Neighborhood. I'm Colby, and North Florida Neighborhood is all about getting to know our neighbors and hearing what really sweet stuff they're doing with us and for us in our community. And today, the neighbor we're chatting with is Lisa Miller, the Executive Director for The Nest, a Woman Center. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh, of course. Now, will you give us a rundown real quick on what all The Nest does?
Yes, so the Nest, a Woman Center is an unplanned pregnancy center that provides free and confidential services for anyone who comes into one of our two locations. We have one on the west side and one in Yulee. We provide free pregnancy tests, limited ultrasounds. We provide parenting classes, referral resources out in the community. We have adoption referrals. We can help with, we have a fully stocked baby boutique with absolutely everything you could imagine and need for a baby. And so the way we do it is we provide parenting classes so the girls can earn points, and then they can spend their, we call them baby bucks, in our boutique any way they choose, whatever they need for their baby.
Oh my gosh. This might be a really ignorant statement, but I think oftentimes when I pass a place that's called a woman's center or anything, I automatically assume it's going to lean towards the abortion side of things, but that's not the case at all. Like, can you debunk these myths for us?
Well, I know at the Nest, we do not do abortions, and we do not refer for abortions. Our philosophy is, I mean, obviously, I can't make that choice for the girl that comes in and is in a crisis, but she's not going to leave my center without being educated about her three options, which are abortion, adoption, and parenting. Mm. And the reality is that all three of them have, excuse me, lifelong consequences and but positives as well. We don't really feel like abortion is a positive at all because we've seen the aftermath of it in so many girls' lives. And so, but we want to educate and we want them to know because they're fed so many lies. And so that is our main objective, is just that they know the risk and that they know all about the different procedures, costs, things like that. But we don't refer, we don't do abortions at our center.
I feel like in instance like this, where you're just being really vulnerable, this whole situation could be super intimidating. So what does it look like to come to the NEST and be like, hey, I need help. I'm in a position that I didn't know I was going to be in. How do you guys kind of smooth everything over for the girls that do come in?
Well, the whole idea of the NEST, we named it the NEST because it's, NEST means safe place of refuge. And we have it decorated not like sterile, not like your doctor's office. It's very homey. And it is literally just sitting down like with a friend and talking and getting her to get out of that tunnel vision, which we all get into when we're in a crisis, and just to have like a conversation about, you know, what might be down the road. And so it's just a very gentle approach, no condemnation, a lot of educating and support, especially when she chooses to come alongside, or when she's choosing to parent and we come alongside her.
So, yeah, I want to move forward and talk about these resources, because you said you do offer referrals for all of these things. So say, okay, we've come in and we've now been educated and we want to move forward, whether that's with adoption or with parenting, then what? What does the NEST do?
Well, we ask her, you know, do you have health insurance? And if she doesn't and she's going to need to apply for insurance, then we have a lot of resources on Medicaid, which is through the state, how to apply for that. We actually give her a verification of pregnancy, which she can refer or turn into Medicaid office. We tell her about WIC, which is a great resource for formula. They do a lot of educating. We give her numbers on Healthy Start. So just a lot of good resources out there that will help her with keeping her baby. We also, if she is very interested in adoption, we have some really good organizations that we work with. And if she is intimidated and doesn't want to go to their office, many of our organizations will actually come to the NEST and meet with her. And so we have a lot of like if she needs food, if she is needing things for her apartment, a bed, anything like that, we also have a lot of referrals for that as well. If she needs professional counseling, if she's searching for a church, we have a lot of our churches that support us, and so we can give their information out as well.
I'm so glad that you went so in depth, because like I said, I mean, there's such an ignorance to what a woman's center offers. And it sounds like the NEST is definitely on the special side of everything it offers. But y'all are more than just, okay, like you're pregnant, go ahead, there's your result. But you guys really come in and, like you said, present a place of peace and comfort and rest.
Correct. We also, we know that the dads, the fathers of the babies, are a big part of the equation, and we don't want to leave them out. We have a couple men counselors that are available, and they meet with some of the guys as well. We have Bible studies. We've had couples come in and meet with a guy and a girl and do Bible studies. We give even more points for Bible studies because we feel like that helps them even more.
Yeah.
But yeah, we really feel like we can help both. We can help the whole family unit.
Oh my gosh. I wouldn't have even guessed, like, with the males. So what kind of success stories have you been able to experience with your time at the NEST?
Well, I think that the sonograms are the most powerful thing because so many of our girls have been fed lies about what is inside of them after they get pregnant. And just some of the girls that have come in and actually seen their babies when we were doing the ultrasound and just are blown away, and they just can't stop talking about it. They're like, that's a baby. It has fingers, it has toes, it has, you know, we can listen to the heartbeat. And it's just so amazing to see their reaction to the life that's growing inside of them.
Again, I get the privilege of chatting with Lisa Miller. She's the executive director for the NEST, a women's center. And Lisa, just to clarify, these services that you've been chatting about, they're totally free.
Free and confidential. Yes, nothing leaves our center, and we never charge for any of our services.
And how are you guys able to offer so much at zero cost? Because usually having a kid and going to all these doctor's appointments are so expensive.
Correct. We're completely donor-based. We just have a lot of people that come alongside of us and support us because they believe in what we're doing. And it's just amazing to see how many people are like-minded. They love life. Mm. They love these girls in their community, and they want to help offer these services to them.
Why are you so passionate about working at The Nest? Why is your heart so integrated in it, Lisa?
Well, I've been doing it for 22 years.
Oh, my gosh.
And I do have a degree in social work, and so I was invited to start working at a center in Cincinnati, and I felt like God was calling me to do that. And ever since, I have just been in love with the whole ministry. It can be hard and it can be challenging, but it is definitely something that you see God is in it all the time. And I don't want to miss any part of that, because he changes lives all the time at our center, and that's really why we're there. So,
and it's so beautiful you get to be a part of it. And Lisa, if people want to be a part of this as well, are y'all accepting volunteers?
Yes. You can go to our website, thenestwomencenter.org, and you can click on the volunteer tab. And we do offer training a couple times a year. And then we have you come into the center where it's even in more depth training. We never throw anyone out there without, you know, them feeling completely comfortable. And we have all kinds of different ways that you can volunteer as well. We have fundraisers that we have to do. And there's some people that are so gifted in that and come alongside us and help us too. Baby bottles, you know, and they, from Mother's Day to Father's Day. We have a banquet in September, so a lot of people help us with that. But yeah, if you get in touch with us, we will get back with you. We do have an application, and purpose and our statement of faith and all kinds of things like that you should read and know about us. So,
and if people are in need, then do we need to make an appointment? Can we just show up?
So if you're interested in coming to The Nest, I recommend making an appointment, but we do take walk-ins. With COVID, we've just been a little bit more careful with how many people we have in the building. So if we have quite a few, you might have to wait in your car. But yeah, making an appointment is best. And we are open every day of the week except Wednesday. And on Tuesday evening, we have evening hours for those who work schedules might be a little tough to get there.
Okay. So really, we can either show up or go online, call. And Lisa, what does it look like for your community to just come behind you and full on support you? What do you need from us?
Well, we can always use financial gifts. The people coming to our center, getting to know us, telling. We're a word of mouth ministry, and the more people that know about us, the better off we are, because we're getting more people to come to us. So yeah, in any donations, you can drop off baby items. We take up to 12 months clothes for babies, cribs, everything that's needed for a baby. We just ask that it be in really good shape, something that you would want to put your baby into. And yeah, that would be a great help to us.
And tell me one more time the best way to get a hold of The Nest.
Our phone number is 619-4914 for thenestwomencenter.org.
Okay, Lisa, thank you so much for being such a great neighbor in our neighborhood.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, at jacksonville.radio.
was December 4th, 1956, when music legends Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, Johnny Cash, and Elvis Presley all got together and jammed at the Sun Studios in Memphis. Oh, baby, pull out a shaking going on. Now, relive that iconic night of rock and roll royalty with the nationally acclaimed One Night in Memphis tribute concert. Get rhythm. One Night in Memphis, April 11th at the Thrasher Horn Center in Orange Park. For tickets, call 904-276-6815 or online at thcenter.org.
Introducing touch-free payments from PayPal, a safe way for your customers to pay. Simply download the PayPal app and display your own unique QR code for your customers to scan. Whether you're a market seller,
I'll take two tomatoes and a cucumber,
poodle pamperer, piano tuner, or plumber. Signing up to accept touch-free payments for your business is easy. Touch-free QR code payments. Shop safe with PayPal.
Does learning a language feel like this?
No habla español?
Hablo.
It's hablo?
Yes.
It's hablo.
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
Since my husband is from Guatemala, I'll apply what I've learned in Babbel to our real life situations.
The app is so easy to use and it's so practical. It helps you learn things that you will actually need.
Babbel, language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com. B-A-B-B-E-L.com.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The big hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. The patented key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text BICEP to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of new Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help get you back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text BICEP to 321-321. That's BICEP to 321-321.
Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to our North Florida neighborhood.
Welcome to North Florida Neighborhood. I'm Colby, and North Florida Neighborhood is all about getting to know our neighbors and hearing what really sweet stuff they're doing with us and for us in our community. And today we get to chat with Rachel McCandless. She's the Director of Health and Nutrition for Feeding Northeast Florida. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Rachel, we're exiting out of March, which was National Nutrition Month. So before we kind of get into what nutrition looks like for y'all, can you unravel who Feeding Northeast Florida is?
Sure, absolutely. Feeding Northeast Florida is our region's main food bank. So any organizations or churches that hand out food for free to low-income populations in our region, chances are the food comes from us. So if you envision like Publix, Publix distribution center is the warehouse that then sends the food to the Publix stores. We have much of the same logistics. Feeding Northeast Florida is the distribution center, and then we deliver the food to our agencies, which are like the stores. So that is your food pantries, your anywhere where people are giving away food.
And where do you guys get the food from?
That's a very good question. We get the food from wherever we can. You know, we work with local farmers, retailers, food distributors, restaurants. Most of our local large grocery chains, Publix, Walmart, Winn-Dixie, Target, all are very generous supplying us with food. That's what's called recovery food. Food service distributors, Sysco, Cheney Brothers, that supply the restaurants, we get food from them as well. And so farmers, anywhere we can get food, we try and source it. It's a big puzzle putting it together.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like across the board, if there's food that you guys can have access to, you take it.
Yeah, absolutely. Quality food.
Yeah, I was going to ask, so what's the difference between taking something expired that they're just going to throw away anyways and then having it, like you said, quality? How do you get that?
Absolutely. That's a very good question. I actually used to work in one of our food pantry agencies, so saw this firsthand. When, let's use meat as an example, okay? So at, say you're at Publix, you're shopping for chicken, you look at the expiration date on the chicken. Are you going to choose the one that expires 3 days from now, or are you going to choose the one that expires next week?
Next week.
You're going to choose the one that expires next week. Well, the folks at Publix, when they're bringing out the chicken that expires next week, they know that you're going to do that. It's human nature. So the chicken that expires in the next 3 days, they know you're not going to take it, so they immediately put it in the freezer to extend the shelf life. Mm-hmm. And then that chicken is donated to us, which we keep frozen, and then distribute for free to low-income neighbors throughout the 8-county Northeast Florida region. So it's just come from Publix. It's frozen to extend the shelf life, and we are able to distribute it for free.
Okay. And like you said, it really is a big puzzle, like figuring out the timeline on foods, where you can get it, when you can get it, and then how quickly you can distribute it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Something like fresh produce, let's say berries, you know, the berries go bad very quickly. So when the store gets in new berries, they send us not the old, you know, they're not old berries, they're just not as new, you know, they're kind of middle-aged, you know. And so they send them to us. When we see those things come in, we know we have to get those out quickly. So they have to go out our door and into somebody's hands as soon as possible.
I think just by you giving us these examples of the chicken and the meat and even the fresh fruit and produce, where is this food going? Now, who is accessible to have this food?
That's a very good question. So in our region, we have one of the higher food insecurity rates in the country. Food insecurity is when an individual doesn't have reliable access to appropriate nutritious food to feed their families. And key there is reliable. You know, like, you're not wondering where your next meal is coming from every day. Many people are. Some people, it's only occasionally. For a lot of people, it's just, you know, the end of the month. My clients are fond of saying there's more month than money. You know, the electric bills do, the rents do. Within this 20% food insecurity rate, it's not just the people that we traditionally think of in poorer neighborhoods. It's your neighbor. You know, there are many folks in our region who are, you know, what you can call house poor. You know, all of the monies, their resources are tied up in the house and the car and kids' tuition and things, and stretching the money for food at the end of the month. There's a lot of folks who what the United Way terms the ALICE population, asset limited, income constrained, employed. These are folks with full-time jobs working who are not making enough money to make it through the month. And an emergency, you know, we all have emergencies. Research shows that most people don't have enough money to afford a $400 emergency payment on something. So you're working a low-income job, transmission goes out in your car, it's going to be $800. That could realistically knock somebody out of into a really bad situation. Then they can't pay the rent. And so yeah, a lot of people are very close to the line. And so it could be anybody. It's your neighbor.
I'm glad that you clarified what food insecurity means, because it's not just people who are homeless. Like, yes, you guys help them, but it's people, everyday neighbors, like exactly like you said, that are working a job and just can't meet their needs or their families.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Chances are you know somebody in your family or in your circle or in your neighborhood who is food insecure.
Rachel, you mentioned that it's really high here, that need is super high. Why is it?
That's a really complicated series of factors. There's not any one reason why a region would have higher rates of food insecurity. You know, there's employment, there are historical factors, there are wages. So really couldn't put it on any one thing. It's a complicated mess.
To put it lightly.
Yes, to put it lightly, you know, it's what they call a wicked problem. Have you ever heard that term?
Mm-mm.
A wicked problem is a problem that is so multifactorial. There are so many different things that go into it that, you know, when you try and work on one thing, it affects something else, and it's like a big tangled ball of yarn. And food insecurity is one of those problems.
Well, we kind of hit on what Feeding Northeast Florida does and what the issue is, food insecurity. So what is your goal with Feeding Northeast Florida? What do you want to accomplish?
Our ultimate goal is to not have food insecure people and have our neighbors not be food insecure. Mm-hmm. You know, we advocate for changes in the systemic factors. We provide food, and that is our main activity, but we also advocate. We help people with SNAP assistance, with Medicaid assistance. There are so many different pieces of being food insecure that, you know, we try and help our neighbors as much as we can in all these different ways. And the advocacy piece, you know, there are many... Being able to help reduce poverty, reduce food insecurity. Our ultimate goal is to not be needed. Well, we're one of the few industries where if we're successful, we'll put ourselves out of business. Mm.
I appreciate how you shared your goal, but then also, hey, we recognize this is a reality, but this is how we're going to get there. And you said by providing food and then just advocating and letting people know. And so with that, I have the privilege of chatting with Rachel McAndelis, the Director of Health and Nutrition for Feeding Northeast Florida. And like I mentioned at the beginning of the program, we're coming out of National Nutrition Month, which was March. So Rachel, how did you guys celebrate that and make it known to the community?
Oh, absolutely. Something that maybe a lot of people don't know is that poverty, some food insecurity, and poor health go hand in hand.
Mm. You know,
we are folks who are food insecure are more likely to suffer from nutrition-related chronic diseases, and nutrition-related chronic diseases actually impact people's employability as well. So let's say you have a job and you have diabetes. If you can't afford to be taking your medications, then you're going to be sick more often, less likely to show up to work, and more likely to lose your job. You know, what we do in all the time, but specifically during National Nutrition Month, is, you know, we really strive to provide healthy, nutritious food to our neighbors in need. We make great strides to source as much fresh produce as possible. In our low-income neighborhoods, particularly in the food deserts, where you may not have a grocery store or don't have transportation to a grocery store. In those little bodegas, if there is any produce, it's unaffordable, it's very expensive, and often of poor quality. So we have our wonderful Corner Market Initiative, which is these 40-foot mobile grocery stores that we take into some of our hardest-to-reach low-income neighborhoods. And they are they're set up just like a grocery store. And so the client can come in and shop guided by myself, the registered dietitian, or we partner with healthcare students from UNF, UF. We have interns from Mayo Clinic. So health students trained in nutrition shop with the clients. My staff is specially trained to shop with the clients as well, learning what's appropriate to choose if you have diabetes, hypertension. These markets are stocked with 70% healthy products, and We are so fortunate to be able to, on these markets, tell the clients when they're standing in front of this big rack full of fresh fruits and vegetables, we can tell them, go ahead and take as much fresh produce as you need. Mm. Getting fresh fruits and vegetables into these neighborhoods is huge.
It's so cool that not only are you providing the food, which is great, but you're also providing the knowledge of, hey, I think this would pair well with this, given this difficulty you're facing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, so if we have one of the common ones is eggplant. You know, we will have eggplant on the market, and not a lot of people know how to cook it or know what to do with it, or maybe have not seen it before. And so, you know, our staff can talk to people about, oh, you know what, hey, this is how you can cook it. I cook this way. Or, you know, we provide recipes as well. So, and since the food is free, people are more likely, you know, to take a chance on it. Mm. Hey, you know, because you're not risking anything. And so here's a recipe, here's the eggplant, you know, and yes, we're really, my mom laughs at me. She says, you know, we have this huge program just to get people to eat their vegetables. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that, like, very summed up. A PSA show summed up. Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Rachel, so what does it look like to live a healthy lifestyle from your perspective when it's integrated within Feeding Northeast Florida? Other than eating our vegetables.
So, you know, nutrition is so interesting, and so many people are interested in nutrition, but there's so much misinformation out there these days, you know, all kinds of, you know, conflicting fad diets, you know, oh, eat no carbs, oh, eat no fats, oh, eat nothing but fat, you know, it's hard to navigate, mm-hmm. really, and when you learn about the science and what we really know about nutrition, what we really know about nutrition are the concepts of balance, variety, and moderation. It's real nutrition is not sexy. It's eat your vegetables. It's eat a balance of foods. So cutting out any one food group is just as detrimental to long-term overall health and weight well-being as overeating any one food group. So, you know, the my plate method is very simple, but it actually works. So a little bit of carbs, a little bit of protein, mostly fruits and vegetables, mostly plants, a little bit of healthy fats, and it doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be superfoods or, you know, some miraculous expensive food that they discovered in the Amazon. You know, actually, many of our common foods have more nutrients. And, you know, people ask me, what are the best foods to eat? And so the fruits and vegetables to eat, and I say they're the ones that you will eat, the ones you can access, the one you can afford, you know, apples, bananas, broccoli. So balance, variety, we want to choose a variety of colors. And so this is one of the ways that food insecurity intersects with poor health, because in these food insecure neighborhoods, they don't have access to a lot of produce, a lot of variety of produce. And so that's where you get your greens, your reds, your yellows, you get a lot of nutrients in there, a lot of these compounds that are shown to be, you know, protective of so many different things, cancer, mental decline, heart disease, diabetes. So eating that variety of colors and moderation, which goes back to what I said about balance, you know, not too much. You know, something that I'm fond of telling my patients is no one food item should be bigger than your hand. So, you know, the 30-ounce porterhouse steak is maybe a little bit too much. You know? no one thing other than vegetables, because vegetables are so low calorie and high fiber. Those are free. But, you know, so a steak is not necessarily off limits. You know, you don't want to have that every day because of the, you know, the saturated fat and risk of heart disease. But a steak every now and again, smaller than the size of your fist, is no problem. You know, it's what we do every day that matters, not what we do on any one day. putting the fruits and vegetables out into the community, we're really making that difference.
And I love how you debunked so many myths just by saying, first of all, it doesn't have to be expensive. And then second of all, these fad diets, in the end, they don't work. Everything is in moderation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And getting this point across to our low-income neighbors is really helpful when people understand that you don't have to be spending all this money on superfoods or fad things. You know, you can eat healthy by what you have access to in your neighborhood, in your grocery store.
And if we don't physically have access to it, how can we get a hold of Feeding Northeast Florida to get these foods?
Well, we, other than these corner markets, we do not distribute food directly to clients. Mm-hmm. We distribute to our agency partners, a network of over the eight counties, we have mobile food pantries, we have standalone food pantries, many different distribution methods. We provide snack packs in schools. So the best way to find where to get food is to look in your neighborhood for your organization, you know, your local church, your food pantry. You can go to our website, feedingnefl.org, and you can find a listing of our agencies that distribute food.
Okay, and I just want to kind of debunk another myth. You guys do so much for our community, but I want to know, how does Feeding Northeast Florida differ from other food banks?
We are the people that are in the community. We are working to touch our neighbors. Mm-hmm. For us, it's about a whole lot more than food. It is really about being there for our neighbors. Our vision, you know, we try and bring dignity to the act of receiving food assistance where possible. You know, it's not about just providing a whole lot of food. It's really about helping. It's about the compassion. It's about providing those additional services. We are here for our community.
What do you mean when you use the phrase providing dignity? I would have never put two and two together. So what's that look like to y'all?
So oftentimes, you know, nobody goes to wait in a food line voluntarily. Nobody wants to get food assistance. It's humiliating for people to admit that they need the help oftentimes. And we know that. And so whether it is, you know, a smile and a touch on the shoulder, and a listening ear, you know, having somebody to just listen to your story is huge. You know, we have our client choice food pantries, which are environments where someone can shop in a grocery store-like environment. We try and provide choice to the client as much as possible. You know, we really take into account the individual situation and try and provide our services with compassion as much as possible, and an understanding that could be any one of us waiting in line. We try and take the shame out of it as much as we can.
After you've expressed all that you've been able to do for the community, Rachel, what can we do for Feeding Northeast Florida? What do you need from your neighbors?
You know, and everything that we do, we couldn't do it without the support of all of our neighbors throughout the region, without the support of our community. If you're able to, volunteer. We have volunteer opportunities you can sign up for on our website. Donate, you know. A client of mine is fond of saying we all have different things we can give. Some have time, some have talent, and some have treasure. If you have time and talent, volunteer, advocate, you know, be a voice for hunger, for those who are in need in our region. If you don't have time or talent, but you have treasure, donate. You know, we are always, sometimes we need to purchase foods. So you can access all of that from our website. Volunteering for just an hour can help provide so many meals for our neighbors in need. You can host a food drive in your neighborhood or in your office. If you donate financially, for each dollar donated, we can provide about 6 meals.
Wow.
That's for a dollar. You know, we are a very efficient organization. If you want to advocate, you know, tell your local representatives, we need to make hunger relief a priority. Everyone deserves to have their most basic needs met. And remember, it's not just the people you stereotypically think about on television. It's your neighbors. Mm. It's people that you know who are hungry. And if you want more information, our website is feedingnefl.org, and there are plenty of information on ways to get involved there.
Well, Rachel, thank you so much for all you're doing for our neighborhood, and thank you for being such a great neighbor.
Absolutely. It is my pleasure. I am honored to be in a position to be of help to so many people who really deserve all the help we can give.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, @jacksonville.radio.